This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Los Angeles. President Biden says more firefighters and other resources will be sent to Canada to help the country fight hundreds of wildfires. CBS News correspondent Tom Foti reports.
President Biden says U.S. firefighting help will be increased.
We already have 600 American firefighters on the ground and been there for a while in Canada, including hotshots and the smoke jumper crews.
And Mr. Biden says he's promised Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau that additional U.S. resources will be sent north to help.
The smoke is bringing air quality issues to multiple states in the east.
Forecasters say two separate weather systems are pushing the smoke south. Philadelphia is currently under an air quality alert, which means the air is considered unhealthy to breathe.
Philadelphia, please take good care of yourselves and look out for each other.
The air so thick, U.S. health officials advise staying indoors as much as possible.
You've got to be outside. For some people, wearing a mask can be helpful to help filter out the smoke around them.
And all this haze is making it tough on air travel. Poor visibility has forced the FAA to slow flights in the Northeast, causing hundreds of delays and some cancellations.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn reporting. The main suspect in the Natalie Holloway disappearance case, Yoron Vandersloot, is now in Birmingham, Alabama, after he was extradited from Peru. Correspondent Janet Shamlian.
He is being extradited to face federal charges of wire fraud and extortion. He approached Beth Holloway, Natalie's mom, and tried to extort some $250,000 from her, in exchange for which he promised to tell her information about what happened to Natalie and where Natalie's body could be found.
Police say a man stabbed four young children and two adults in a park in France. Prosecutor Lynn Bonnier.
We have launched a criminal investigation into this massacre. The person in question is arrested and in the police station, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of terrorist motivation.
Our views on tipping are changing.
Two-thirds of Americans now have a dim view of tipping, with most of us tipping less because of inflation and economic concerns. That's according to a survey from Bankrate, which found hairstylists and barbers suffering the biggest decline in tipping, down about 13% over the past year. Tips to restaurant and food delivery workers are down nearly 10%.
On Wall Street, the closing bell brought gains and a bull market now that stocks have risen 20% since their lows in October. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Progressive,
thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A test well in the town of Campbell was free of PFAS contamination after recent testing. The town's drinking water has previously tested for unsafe levels of PFAS in La Crosse County. The test well was drilled below current wells, and an engineering firm said the cost to drill larger wells for the town to use would be about $500,000. The town plans to seek grants and work with the DNR to see if they can add a new, deeper well for its drinking water supply. Over a quarter of Wisconsin is experiencing drought, according to the USDA. That includes nearly all of Polk County and neighboring counties in northwestern Wisconsin and areas south of I-90 in southwestern Wisconsin. According to the National Drought Monitor, over 88% of Wisconsin is abnormally dry, while just over 25% is in moderate drought. The National Weather Service says that over the next 6 to 10 days, the state will see continued above average temperatures and below normal precipitation. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Allbus Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. I am suffering.
Are you suffering?
I'm suffering. Okay, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Ready? Happy birthday to you.
You do not have to sing the whole song, Danielle. And I think Anastasia, thank you. That was very nice of you. You gave it away already.
I did?
Yeah. Well, you say it's your birthday as the intro song, so I appreciate that. Very nice of you. Yes, I turned 42 today.
42 years young.
Plus 10.
Oh, fun.
And I'm suffering from jet lag like I'm not sure I ever have before, but that is because I just got back from South Africa. Just flew back from South Africa the day before yesterday.
Sunday. Fantastic.
That is a 36-hour flight.
No.
I'm telling you, though, if you haven't had a chance to hunt South Africa, and you know the crazy part about it is you can get over to South Africa and hunt there for like pennies on the dollar. It's about half as expensive, maybe a third as expensive, to go to Africa and hunt the plains game animals, hartebeest, eland, Nyala. We were at Johnny Fetting Safaris, and he does just an incredible job. And you're in the mountainous regions, the plains game animals, kudu. The kudu in the Eastern Cape are just absolutely incredible.
So wait, the plains games?
The plains game.
The plains game. Oh.
Yes.
Nothing I ever think about.
Well, the plains games, almost all these animals are antelope. They're a type of antelope. Eland, you know, kudu, blessed buck. All of those are all antelope, like real antelope. Antelope we have in the United States are pronghorned antelope.
Yep.
They're their own species, actually.
Oh.
We just call them antelope. But the actual antelope in South Africa are incredible. Everything from these massive, massive eland right down to the little duikers, which are these little teeny deer-looking things with little spikes on them. They're so cool.
So I remember seeing one I'm going to show everybody on camera, too, but this one is the one that intrigued me. What is that?
That is a red hartebeest.
Red?
And it kind of, their horns look like a heart. And what you can't tell from that picture is at the top where it looks like they're going up, they're actually going straight back.
They're going back?
Straight back, like Mercury, you know, the god Mercury on the shoes. That's what those look like in person. And I hunted a water buck there. And that's like a 1,000-pound giant antelope with massive horns that go forward. Had the time of my life, was there with my college roommate Matt, his wife, his daughter, her husband, my friend Jim Burnclaw. I had a bunch of hunting buddies that I've been friends with for decades, and it was just an absolute dream come true. So I'm still running on the high of coming back from Africa. We hung out.
Wait, so what did you shoot all these animals with?
We were.
Did you bring your own guns over that they supply?
No, I don't bring my gun to South Africa because what I have learned, and I think we told the story of what happened in Ethiopia when I came back and they found a bullet in my check bag.
No.
Yeah, they found a bullet in my check bag in Ethiopia and pulled me off the plane and almost threw me in an Ethiopian jail, which was.
What?
I hope to. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. That was one of the scariest events of my life. But I tripped and fell at the time, and I grabbed my backpack, and I think they thought I was having a heart attack, and thought, "Oh my gosh, we're about to kill an American." So all of a sudden, they were really nice to me and put me back on the plane. Guys, you're going to hear some laughing in the background at our hilarious stories, because Josh Parent with Whitetail Design Build and his buddy Brad Scher are here in the studio with us. And I'm really excited, because the reason you guys are here is because it is not too early to start thinking about that whitetail territory that you have, is it?
No, it's actually kind of getting somewhat late. I mean,
what?
We're not even in summer.
Well, the way my brain goes is you have 12 months out of the year and 3 months hunting season, 9 months habitat season. There's something you can do every month of the year, if you will, and you kind of got to, you know, when you have a lot to do on your property, you kind of got to dedicate time every single month to just kind of stay on track. Otherwise, you try to jam everything into August, and all of a sudden, you wind up like a dog chasing his tail towards the end of habitat season.
So, you know what? I hear what you're saying.
Trust me, I've been there.
You know? I hear what you're saying, but let's be fair.
Yep.
There are guys who are into it. Now, you take a guy like me and say, well, Joel's really into hunting. I am really into hunting.
Yes.
It consumes my life.
Yep.
I don't drink. Food is my favorite dish, which is one of the reasons I hunt as much as I do. Yep. But you don't have to be the guy who is absolutely all you think of is food plotting and habitat and all that stuff. There are degrees of doing it, right? So,
absolutely.
So if I'm out there right now and let's say I care about deer hunting.
Yep.
I care about whitetail hunting with a bow. Yep. So I want to create a habitat on some property I'm working and managing.
Yep.
But I also don't have a ton of time to put into it. What should I be doing now?
I mean, there's real simple things you can do, like, you know, mock scrapes for every stand site, for example, if you will. Those are pieces of the puzzle, if you will. You know, food plots are obviously a big ticket item, but they're the strongest improvement there is as far as dictating how deer use your property, if you
like
will.
What type of food plot, like what am I planting right now?
Pretty much just, I mean, well, nothing now, it's just prep,
getting it ready.
We're in pre-food plotting.
Yeah, but I do a lot of no-till planting, so typically, like, I start spraying. I just typically spray three times per year. I spray early May, I spray again around mid June, if you will, and then typically incorporate a buckwheat planting early July, and then plant my fall plots, you know, late July into August, if you will. And like I said, those are a big ticket item, if you will, but something as simple as setting up a mock scrape at each and one of your stand sites are very cheap, pennies on the dollar,
right?
Easy to do.
If you're listening right now, I'm just going to come right out there and say it as plainly as I can. What's happening today, Josh is here, and he's essentially getting a free commercial.
Oh,
what that
means
to you out there as a deer hunter, if you care about whitetails, you can call this number and ask him a question directly and get free advice from him right now.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street,
844-967-2789. How do you not
I don't remember
this,
the number ever. You know why? It's the damn 3x7 phone. It's the phones, the 3-inch by 7-inch phones. We don't have to memorize things
I
anymore.
Had the same thing.
We don't have to. When I was growing up, before you were born, Danielle, we had to memorize the numbers of every one of our friends and our home and emergency contacts.
So you should be a pro at this. This should be
if they
done.
Were nice, if you had good parents who were actually let you do stuff once in a while, they'd drop you off downtown Waukesha at the games and stuff with like 7 quarters. And then they'd say, we're picking you up at this time on this corner. And if you weren't at that time at that corner, you sat
walking
and froze
home.
Your ass off. And that was all there was to it. That was it. So now you don't have to memorize numbers. 844-967-2789, raised in Wisco. Give these guys a call. We've got the experts in the studio. And for those of us who are obsessed, we're doing things every single month to get prepped for the season. Now, I'm going to make a confession. I love whitetail hunting. I do love it. I do love it, but I love waterfowl hunting.
You do
I get
love
to
waterfowl
work
hunting.
On the, I work for the Fowl Life. I get to do stuff, you know, with Chad Belding's coming into town in a couple weeks, and I get to be part of something that to me really drives me. And that's when it comes to bird hunting, scouting. That is your food plotting. Your food plotting is scouting. When it comes to whitetail, your food plotting, your habitat restoration, when you're putting up cameras, where you're walking in, when you're walking in, wind conditions, that all fits into it. And, you know, we've had Paul House on the show a few times. Mm-hmm. He's an avid, excellent whitetail hunter. But I think something that important that Josh said is that right now is kind of the time to start thinking about it if you haven't. Not necessarily late, but if you want to be a serious guy, get on the ball right now.
So to be a serious guy, when should I have started? Obviously, like once the season ends, you got to start thinking about it right away. But like for somebody like me or Joel, should I start in February? Like,
yeah, and it all depends on your situation. I mean, every property is different. You know, every property owner's goals are different, if you will. But, you know, it all depends on how much you have to do on your property initially, if you will. If you have a lot of work, then, yeah, pretty much, you know, starting in February, if you will, you know, January, as far as, you know, perhaps laying out food plot locations to be cleared in the spring, if you will. Mm-hmm. If those are in place, then it's more of connecting the dots with travel corridors, mock scrapes, water holes when appropriate, if you will. You know, it's like I said, that it all depends on your situation, and every property is different. Every landowner is different. So it's always it's the same concepts on every property, but the way they're applied is totally different.
Go ahead, Danny.
And I saw on Facebook when I think property, I think 40 plus acres. Like, I feel like to be a good whitetail hunter, I need to have massive land. But I saw on your post.
I don't think that's true.
But your post that it was like you had a 12-acre property you did this for somebody. And it was just, you were just killing it, crushing it, doing everything that they need for them. And it was only a 12-acre property.
Yeah, and I mean, the smallest ones I've ever worked on is 10 all the way up to 300 acres, if you will. And I've seen 10-acre properties hunt better than 80-acre properties. I mean, Brad's property, for example,
it's
that
location,
we did a bunch of work.
Location.
But a lot of it's just how it's hunted, if you will. The best property out there that's laid out in a correct habitat improvement standpoint, if it's hunted sloppily, you're not going to get a good return on your investment. For example, property that I did a bunch of work on for Brad, if you will, you guys have been killing bucks 130 to 150 inches every single year on 10 acres.
Come on. Yeah.
10 acres?
On 10 acres.
Dang.
Well, talk to me about water sources. I think that's something that's often really ignored when it comes to people setting up
property.
Oh, and
I got a take question for that one, too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and that's the end-all debate. You know, are actual ponds important, if you will, as far as habitat goes? I mean, I'm not going to say they're a bad thing by no means, but you could get a lot more return on your investment just by simply burying 110-gallon, 150-gallon Rubbermaid tote, you know.
How do you keep it open in the winter?
And the thing of it is, you know, those are hot spots for, you know, rut, late October, early November, if you will. If you're doing things correctly, wintertime, your tag is filled, if you will. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, it's not as critical, if you will. You know, and even the bigger ponds are going to freeze over in the winter, but it's, you know, during season, if you will, most of everything that I plant is lush and green. So a lot of, you know, like brassica, it's like 90% moisture content. You know, a lot of what the deer need from a moisture content can get satisfied just through your plantings, if you will.
I think that that's kind of an area that a lot of people, they may have a fantastic piece of land with no water on it, and all of a sudden they bring water into that scenario, and then they've got the trifecta because they might have some marsh or some bedding, they might be on the corner of tillable, and boom, we're done with the first segment of the show. And I'm going to be selfish today because it is my birthday. My family is here. They're listening to the show out in the lobby right now. I'm going to drag my daughters in against their will because they have to do what I ask only on my birthday. Now, the rest of the 364 days, they don't listen to me at all. But today they will. And we're going to get to this break, and we're going to talk about this Jamoke you brought along with you over here, Brad Scherr, and see what he's all about. He looks more like Duck Commander of the Fowl Life to me, I'll be honest with you. But you're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clavish, Danielle Fairman. Going to say hi to our good friends, the Kennedys, when we come back. I got a quote that Robin gave me for my birthday today. It's pretty cool. Raised in Wisco, we'll be right back.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high mid-80s, then a chance of storms Friday night and Saturday, high near 80. Sunny and mid-70s Sunday. Breezy too, with gusts to near 30 miles an hour. Sunny, nice, and low 70s on Monday. Right now it's 76.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Well, we're back. Raising Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that music was bringing us in from break, but maybe it was there, maybe it wasn't. You're listening to a show that is all about Wisconsin and the great outdoors of Wisconsin and making sure you get out there and participate in, because we have got some of the best natural resource conservation in the entire country. Just got back myself from South Africa, which is completely amazing in its own right. There's no question. I mean, it's life-changing to go to a place that's got, you know, you go into Wisconsin's woods, you're really fortunate if you see one species, two species, or three species a day. And when you go to South Africa, you're going to see on average 15 to 20 species a day, which is incredible. But it's still, you know, I came back, and the first day back yesterday, I looked out over my backyard and saw a pond and saw different ducks coming in and geese coming in and saw some white-tailed fawns running around. And this state has so much to offer.
It does.
And that's one of the cool things about having Whitetail Design Build in the studio with us today. Josh Parent and Brad Scher are here. And I think what you guys understand about hunting and about whitetail hunting is creating that environment that's going to make you a successful whitetail hunter. We have always, it's always been in Wisconsin. Yeah, you guys going up north. We're going up north to count on some deer hunting up north.
The dirty boy buck.
But the reality of it is Southeast Wisconsin has got some of the best hunting, not only in the state, but in the country, in the world, really. Brad, Josh told us before the break that you are getting into 130, 150 inch deer almost every year, if not every year.
On your little 10-acre property.
On a 10-acre property. How on earth is that happening?
Yep. So, you know, we did get lucky. We got a great piece of property that we got about 6 years ago. We started doing a little management on it, just me and my dad, and we're going, you know, we can do better, right? There's bigger bucks here. We're getting them late in the season. We're getting them during those months where we have the bucks cruising through. So we kind of sat down. I got with Josh.
Are cruising bucks running bucks? That's a question I get, and I don't know the answer to that. And is the answer really sometimes?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes it's just that.
Don't they always cruise, though? Don't they? Don't you have just pass-through properties? Like the one I hunt? Like, will they just pass through, go to their bedding, go to their feeding?
Yep.
Like, aren't they all?
Yeah, but they're not. Yep. They're going to be passing through a lot more during the rut because they're looking.
Yep. True. Yep. Very true.
The property we got holds a lot of does in a small parcel.
Okay.
So we're getting them neighborhood bucks come through there bedding on the neighbor's property. We're holding that food source close up to us, getting them does to bed in closer to us, which is drawing them bigger bucks into us earlier now With the habitat improvements Josh brought in, we're getting better daylight pictures of these bucks coming in earlier in the season. My son, 11 years old, second year out hunting. This year he shot 125 inch 10 pointer for his starting buck.
That's awesome.
You know, it's the best feeling I had as a father, watching him stick that buck.
I tell people all the time, I enjoy taking people, watching them succeed at hunting more than pulling the trigger myself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, during the break, you guys brought up a subject and I said, wait, don't talk about it yet. Because the first time you talk about it, it's always the best time. You talked about the corridor, the path of least resistance. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so we were talking, you know, just looking at the whitetail. Josh brought this to my attention. I've been hunting since I was, you know, 7 years old, starting with rabbits and everything, working my way into deer once I got old enough. But Josh goes, you got to think of it like this. He goes, that deer is no different than you. They're lazy. They want to get from point A to point B.
Are you calling me lazy?
Well, I'm just taking assumptions.
Brad, are you calling me lazy? Because you hit that right on the head.
It's his birthday.
I am not a purist.
I met some of the guys you go goose hunting
with. If we drive
in
with the truck and the deer's going to stand there long enough, I'm getting out of the truck, I'm casing the gun, and taking a shot, okay? Listen, I'm just saying it how it is.
No, that's exactly it. Where they want to go through that path of least resistance and building them corridors, linking all the different key areas together, your mock scrapes, your water holes, leading into your food plots, your bedding areas.
People call them pinch points. Some exactly. people say pinch points. I think one of the tough things to do is to actually figure out where those points are, where those travel mm-hmm. corridors are. What is that where cameras come in?
Yep, so you're going to have your cameras over those areas, bring it in. I mean, when you're setting up there, it's real key on how you're getting to those pinch points or that access.
What about these cameras? Are you guys dead set on cell cameras where it sends pictures to your phones, or do you still go back in the woods and check your...
We both use a variety of different cameras, okay. depending on what the property is. I mean, the less human scent you can get on yep. there during the time, better off we are, right? You're keeping them deer hidden, you're keeping them... used to what they're used to during the time.
You're not putting them on alert when they don't have to be on alert.
Exactly.
So, like, I use a lot of, you know, I use both cell cameras and cameras that I physically got to check, for example. But then, you know, the cell cameras are great, you know, have them on food plots, fuel, because I don't spend a lot of time by food plots, period. But then cell, you know, but when I'm starting to get pictures of bucks I want to kill on food plots, then I know in my head that they're using all them other habitat improvements that I've incorporated into the design. So then I know if a buck's showing up at this food plot right at dark, he's coming past stand 7 half hour before dark. I need a north wind for stand 7, and I get that wind and I go in there, and it's last 10 years I've killed my 9 best bucks in the past 10 years, Jeez. If you will, by not hunting as much as possible, but just hunting when the conditions are right and knowing how the deer use the property.
You know how much I hear that from people?
What's that?
I hear that so often. Look, you want to kill a big buck, don't hunt it every day from the same stand.
Yep.
Know when the wind is exactly right and have patience. But I think that... I tell people that, you know, this turkey season just closed. I killed 8 turkeys with people. Yes. And people say, oh, you know, what's the key? Is it your decoy spread? What type of calling are you using? When are you clucking versus when are you yelling at them? When are you yelping? And the bottom line is the number one thing that kills turkeys is patience. Yep. And I think that that goes across the board with any species you're hunting. We got to go to break already.
Oh, geez.
But I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk today about the A-Team Adventure Series, which was spawned as an idea really kind of from this show and from the outdoor work that Danielle and I do. And we're working with the A-Team, and that's getting diversely abled folks out in the outdoors. Robin Kennedy gave me a quote today, the most ordinary things can be made extraordinary simply by doing them with the right people.
Aww.
And that is a key to finding the right people. Ted Nugent, take us to the ring. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Haze over the Northeast is keeping millions of people indoors. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney.
Out of an abundance of caution, the city has directed non-emergency personnel to avoid working outdoors today.
The Supreme Court today ruled that a Republican-created congressional district map violates the Voting Rights Act in Alabama. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says Chief Justice John Roberts voted with the majority.
What he really said today is that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act that guards against vote dilution, among other things, on the basis of race, still has teeth. That still has a place in our country.
You might actually want to look at your 401k balance now, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Today, the S&P 500 ended its longest bear market since the 1940s and may be on its way to start a new bull run.
And this just in, former President Trump has just posted on his Truth Social site that he's been informed by the Biden administration that he's been indicted. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Oh, now, wait until you pull up to the stop and go light. But when you do, go ahead and save the Civic Media station to one of your presets. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and also on the Civic Media app.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. Over a quarter of Wisconsin is in drought, and 88% of the state is considered abnormally dry. That's according to the National Drought Monitor. The National Weather Service says that over the next 6 to 10 days, the state will see continued above-average temperatures and below normal precipitation. Some areas of drought include Polk County and parts of its neighboring counties, as well as southwestern Wisconsin counties south of Interstate 90. A test well in the town of Campbell in La Crosse County was free of PFAS contamination after recent testing. The town's drinking water has previously tested for unsafe levels of PFAS. The town is now exploring grants and working with the DNR to see if they can afford to get a new well for its drinking water supply. And the state high school softball championships began this morning in Madison at Goodman Diamond. Superior defeated Menominee Falls 6-5 to stay unbeaten on the year. They'll face Sun Prairie East tomorrow in a semifinal. Divisions 4 and 5 wrap up today. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
At Lakeland Care, we build better lives. As a nonprofit organization offering care management in northeastern Wisconsin, our staff lives and works in the areas we serve. Through customized plans designed to help eligible elders and adults with disabilities live independently, we offer a unique, people-centered approach to family care. That's because we know how important it is to remain connected to your family, friends, and community. Learn more about our long-term care options by contacting your county Aging and Disability Resource Center.
When snack time rolls around, don't settle for the same old, spice it up with Emmanuel's Mix. Imagine this, corn rice cereal, pretzels, and mammoth pecans, plus a unique coating that perfectly melts sweet and salty. Emmanuel's Mix Spicy Blend even won first place in the Grand Champion Eats and Treats competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. Now that's tasty. A proud member of Something Special from Wisconsin and served on the sweet level of Fiserv Forum. Emmanuel's Mix. Log on to emmanuelsmix.com. That's Emmanuel's Mix.com and get snacking.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little officialer? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsin Blee's got you covered then too with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsin Blee beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsin Blee. Drink Wisconsin Blee Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Damaged goods, I'm complicated. Sure do know how to tell a lie.
Welcome back, everybody, to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Ooh, I'm jet lagged.
You're jet lagged. Is it kicking in?
It is kicking
in. And you
my
just had a fantastic dinner with your family?
Had a great dinner tonight with my family. We're at Bryant's on the Round, Scallops. And they've got this like crab rangoon dip stuff and risotto and this amazing hamburger. He did have a soup that he debuted today, which was kind of fascinating to me. It's it was like along the lines of a cold potato soup, like vichyssoise or gazpacho, a cold soup, yeah. But it was avocado based.
Oh,
it was it actually tasted really good, but I couldn't get past the fact that it was cold. It was very weird to me. I just love all food's my favorite dish, which reminds me. So I was in, and you guys, and we got Josh Parent and Brad Scher in the studio with us from Whitetail Design Build, and we've been sharing some really awesome tips and keys as to how to food plot, how to get your place ready for the whitetail season. But I'm going to regress for a minute. We hunted Egyptian geese. Aha,
there it is. That's what I've been waiting for.
What have you been waiting for about
it? I see, like, just like you, I like to talk more about waterfowl because I suck at deer hunting. I suck at it, like, horribly. Really suck at it. But I love waterfowl hunting.
Yeah, we can get you way better than what
that, like, see, that's I really problem. Suck at it.
It's not a coincidence. So, yes, I may be one of the most top 10 funny people in the entire state of Wisconsin. But that's like whitetail hunting. Only the top 10% kill the biggest deer. And there's a reason for that. It is not coincidence. It's because they're good at what they do. Paul, do you guys know Paul House? The guy shoots a 130 to 180 inch buck every year.
Yeah.
And it is not a coincidence that those people do that. So we're in South Africa. Now, waterfowl hunting in South Africa is not a thing.
Oh.
It is not a thing, but they've got these Egyptian geese all over the place, feeding on alfalfa fields, feeding on grass fields.
And now these Egyptian geese are not the Canadian geese that we have here. Nothing looks exactly the same. Geese. They look like
they almost look like a type of duck, like a big, what do they kind of look like? Maybe a mix of a wood duck, kind of. They've got brown and green and white and
more like
black.
Like a redhead, but fluffy.
Yeah, fluffier, bigger. So they don't use layout blinds. They stick a blind, like a stick blind, in the middle of a field. They put
like tarp around their saw. Yeah, I'm like, what is that tarp is there for?
They put like 10 decoys out of speckle belly geese. They're not even putting out decoys of Egyptian geese. And I actually brought 24 decoys with us, the silhouette decoys. And we put those out and it like doubled his decoy amount because the guy who runs is a guy named Diafon, great guy. He speaks Afrikaans as his first language. And he's a riot. To try to describe him, he's like Santa Claus looking with a brown beard with a South African Afrikaans accent. So it's very, put out the decoys over there. But it's so fun because unlike here, the geese that are coming in are absolutely clueless. In Wisconsin, the geese are so tough because they're completely educated. They know. They fly over, they're like, that's not moving.
Yeah.
What's going on? Over there?
That has a scratch on its forehead.
And they don't have any rules about like electronic calling or anything. So last time I was there, I was like, you should have a caller. He's like, oh, I don't know. This time we had electronic calls, these geese.
What?
And they suckered. And they were coming in and absolutely finishing right in our faces. It was awesome. And we're getting 10-yard shots on them. Ethical kill. We shot 23. Three of us shot 23 Egyptian geese, and they're just beautiful geese. And of course, over there, they don't eat them. They're like, geese, gross. That's disgusting. Well, come on. 90% of the people in Wisconsin say Canada geese are disgusting.
This is true. This is very true.
Until they eat the ones we cook.
It is.
And I brought provider spices along with me to South Africa. And I cooked these things. I put them in a Chardonnay. I made them in a Chardonnay reduction.
Ooh.
And in the crock pot, but only for a couple hours just to get them a little more tender because I didn't have the sous vide along. You know how much I love the sous vide.
Love the sous vide.
So I cooked them in this Chardonnay sauce and I added some of the provider seasonings, the Sonora seasoning to that. And then I added just a little bit of balsamic vinegar, lemon juice, some garlic. And this... oh my gosh. It was absolutely like a delicacy. You guys like eating waterfowl?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I
I always had, you know, geese growing up and wood ducks and mallards. And
wood ducks are the best. I thought they were good growing up.
Some people don't like them, but I always have.
I think a lot of it's in the prep. And a lot, I mean, people who eat the goose that I make, they're like, this is the best shredded beef I've ever had. And I'm like, yeah, it's sky carp. So, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy that. Yeah. But that was such a, it was such a great thing to be able to, and all the guides out there, you know, they call them PHs, which stands for professional hunter, which I just think is goofy. So I call them guides, just like in the United States. The outfitters and guides are eating the stuff and they're going, holy cow, this is unbelievable. And I look them right in the face and do you think it's a coincidence that I am this fat? It is not a coincidence. It is because I love to eat and always eats wild game. And if you know how to cook it, oh, man.
That's so now you got them hooked on provider life lifestyle seasonings? Yeah,
and I'm
going to
tell you, everything that you cook, every antelope. So cervids, which we hunt in the United States. We hunt almost all cervids, right? Moose, elk, deer, they're all cervids. Antelopes are not cervids.
What the heck is a cervid?
Well, it's a cervid is a there are definitions for it specifically, but it's hooved. It's a type of so you got genus, family, species. So it's a genus or a family, and it's moose, it's deer, it's mule deer, white-tailed deer, coos deer, elk. It's, you know, all the North American species basically of antlered animals. And antlers are different than horns.
Yep.
Antlers fall off every year. Horns grow from birth until death. So antelope do not have the same thing in their meat, in the pH of their meat, that cervids had. So they don't have that, what we call as a gamey taste to it. So when we make cervids here, a lot of times you have to work to make sure that that gamey taste isn't part of what you serve. But the antelopes, I mean, that tastes like Wagyu beef. I mean, it's
never
almost,
have I ever.
Almost as good as Two Sleep Cattle Company beef. I'm just saying. Two Sleep Cattle Company beef is fantastic. Our buddy John then owns that. The products are fantastic. But I'm telling you, the meat that we make over there, they don't have a gamey taste. So when you shoot goose there, it can have that gamey taste to it, right? So what we did, you use an acid to break that down. And I know that this outdoor show ends up being a cooking show a lot of times, which I have no problem with because one of the things we stand for and talk about is the fact that in Wisconsin, if you're going to kill something, eat it.
Yes.
First of all,
100%.
Provide for your family. And secondly, you're not going to get a more organic source. I see you nodding your head over there, Brad, because you're not going to get a more organic source of protein than in the waters and woods of Wisconsin.
No, that is 100% true. So I got a brother-in-law from Nigeria, right? This is his first time eating wild game. I gave him some venison. And he's like, I don't know about this, right? He calls me last week. He goes, Brad, I need more of that venison. Can we go get more from the butcher store? I said, we don't sell it. I said, buddy, you got to wait till I shoot another one. But I said, I still got a couple roasts left that would get you when you get back up here. So, I mean, that turned him over. He's like, this stuff is the best, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's all about how you prepare it, like Joel was saying before.
Oh, yeah. My whole family is a non-hunting, non-fishing family. Like, nobody does. So Bill's the one that got me into it. And my sister would not, for the life of her, eat anything in our house. Not a thing. She's like, this is going to be something wild from the woods. This is going to be... She saw an egg hatching one time, and now that just changed her. But she'll buy meat from the store.
Oh, but they're so tender when they're young.
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's a
joke. For anybody who's going to come after me, that was a joke.
But no,
that was a joke.
Yeah, no, that's no different.
Lordy. Good thing it's your birthday.
I'm still jet-lagged, I told you.
Yeah, and being a guy that eats a lot of venison through the year, my kids... You hand them a beef, good beef steak, and they're like, Dad, this doesn't taste right. They're so used to eating that wild game.
Good.
And that's what they're all about.
I'm with you.
They'll take that venison backstrap or roast over.
You go eat a steak that's been sitting in a grocery store for a week, and prior to that, it was sitting in a warehouse for a week, and it was frozen for 2 weeks.
Yep.
There's no flavor to it.
It looks so different.
It looks so different.
Yep.
Yeah, that is something that's really important. And I have to tell you, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, my wife did not eat wild game, period.
At all? Anything?
Nothing. She did not eat wild game. And now it's all we eat is wild game because I prepare it in a way that runs the gamut from people who have very, very simple palates mm-hmm. and they want to eat something that tastes like shredded beef all the way to, you know, honey glazed, rubbed wild boar roast and anything in between. And when you're eating organic and you eat organic over time, you start to actually crave the flavor that's there that doesn't exist in most store purchased meat. Absolutely. Not all. But most store purchased meat doesn't have that. And I love store purchased meat. Don't get me wrong. I love the farming industry.
Yep.
It's fantastic. But if you know how to prepare wild game, you're going to have a meal that people are going to, at the end of it, say, I cannot believe this. I don't want to eat other things than this. And I'm not a trained chef or a cook. I'm not. And that's all we eat in our house is wild game now. And now it's funny because I'll go to the freezer and my wife and I'll say, yeah, I know so-and-so's coming over. I'm going to give him a roast. She'll be like, don't give away all the goose. And I say to myself, wait a minute.
Who
are
you?
Nobody says don't give away the goose.
She's looking at it. She's yelling at you.
She's yelling at me from the other room saying, I don't talk like that. No, she doesn't talk like that. You're welcome to come in here, honey, into the studio
and talk.
We'd love to hear you. She says, okay, let me do it. Don't give away all the goose.
Aww.
Is that how you talk? Is that better? She's nodding.
A little bit better.
She said, honey, sweetheart, don't give away all the goose, please. It's delicious.
Or you should have to go hunting more, right?
I just want to make sure that you're not giving away all the gooses that you have in the freezer.
The gooses.
She doesn't talk like that either.
I feel like you're sleeping on the couch tonight.
I might be.
If looks could kill.
Oh, talking about waterfowl, she might have just flown a bird our direction. I'm not sure. Actually, she gave me one of the most awesome gifts I could ever imagine today.
Oh, what is it?
Well, she got me the hardcover edition of the Boone and Crockett record book.
Oh, she knows
and
you.
Now she's pantomiming through the glass again. Oh, yeah. She cricketed me a lunch bag with the provider on it. But then she also, she loves the cricket. I call it the grasshopper. I don't. So it's this thing that you can make, you know, you put words on and stuff and they think it's cool. But it turned out perfect. It's really good. But she gave me the Boone and Crockett edition, the hardcover edition of the Boone and Crockett records. And I have an all-time antelope that's in that edition that I shot with my bow.
Which is Wyoming?
Even really weird. 2018 in South Dakota, Camp Cook, South Dakota.
Just kidding.
Fantastic going out there to do that. But she gave me that. But the gift she gave me that was even better. Anastasia, are you ready for this?
Anastasia's riveted.
You're riveted, aren't you, by this?
I'm so riveted.
She told me she's going to help put together a plan to allow some of the mounts from my hunts in the basement.
In the basement? Outside of the man cave?
Yes.
But
because
I feel
the man
like,
cave has run out of room, Danielle.
I feel like you can't. I'm sorry. You got to get rid of that
Honey,
wall
why
or
don't
something.
You come in here and get on the microphone instead of pantomiming through the glass? What? I didn't hear you.
You're losing listeners?
I probably am. Let me tell you why we're losing listeners right now, because everybody loves my wife way more than
because
me.
They're making up voices for me. Telling dumb stories about the cricket.
I love the cricket.
The cricket's
you made those
fantastic.
Beautiful things for Violet's cheer.
Soup to
oh, we gotta
well,
go
that's
to
Vichy's
break.
Is cold too. Oh man, we're at break.
Why
already.
Did we so
that's,
happen
that's
to us?
That was so fun. Hey, listen, hang around. We're gonna do half a segment with you guys, and we're gonna trade off to my daughters. You're listening to Raising Wisco. We got Josh Perrin, Brett Scheer here with us with Wisconsin Whitetail Design Build. We'll be right back on Raising Wisco.
Cause someone else would have walked away.
The
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your Ethel,
calm down!
Hey, what are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high mid-80s, then a chance of storms Friday night and Saturday, high near 80. Sunny and mid-70s Sunday. Breezy too, with gusts to near 30 miles an hour. Sunny, nice, and low 70s on Monday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
If I can make a living from walking in the woods, you can bet I'd be sitting pretty good.
Brian Hunt fishing, loving every day. That is what it's about to live in the great state of Wisconsin. And that is also what it's about to listen to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Hey, Danielle, first of all, thank you very much for filling in for me and covering for me while I was in South Africa. That was awesome. And I heard back from everybody that you did a great job.
Thank you.
Robin Kennedy said you were amazing at the golf outing.
That was definitely, I found out that I'm not meant to be an auctioneer.
See, I disagree. I don't think so. I think she thought you were better than I did.
No, baloney. Do you know how many times I put the mic down?
It kind of seemed like she wanted you back instead of me. So
I put the mic down. I'm like, what number am I at? I don't know what number I'm at.
You know what? That's okay. That just goes to show you that auctioneering is actually a skill.
It is definitely a skill that I do not have.
Josh but, you know Perrin what? And Brad Scher are here from Whitetail Design Build.
Yes.
You guys, right now, I'm going to ask you the last thing we're going to talk about today. If you're out there and you are clueless, but you'd like to hunt deer on your property, what do you need to do?
I mean, the biggest thing that I try to tell people is look at how the deer use the property and how we can enhance how the deer naturally use the property. We're not going to put a square peg in a round hole, but so many people set up stands because there's a trail here and X, Y, and Z. It's your property. You can dictate how they use that property with a well-thought-out habitat improvement plan, even if you don't want to hire somebody to construct that plan. I always tell people, draw out your improvements on a piece of paper and make sure that you can hunt that property and keep that property, keep the deer ignorant of the fact that they're being hunted.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest mistake people make is just overpressuring their land.
Fooling Mother Nature gets a lot harder when Mother Nature knows.
Yeah, and when people want to focus on the older bucks, you got to remember.
How do they get a hold of you?
How do they get a hold of me? Right now, either Facebook, Instagram. Otherwise, you can send me email at whitetaildesignbuild@gmail.com.
WDB. Yep. Guys, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're talking about the A-Team Adventure Series with my daughters today for a little bit. But
very excited to have them on the radio.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to have these two guys back, though. They were awesome. They were excellent. Really knew their stuff, too. So
Brad fellow at work. He's a safety guy at my
one of my job sites. I heard you in the middle of the break trying to steal glasses from him. So
yes.
It doesn't... Hey, Violet!
Oh, hello!
Violet is here. My daughter Violet and my daughter Ella Rose. Ella Rose, I'm sorry, I have to say it. You guys have to check out the Sun Prairie Civic Theater. They're doing a Broadway version of Cinderella.
Oh, Cinderella!
The Broadway musical, and Ella Rose was cast as Cinderella and her boyfriend Gabe Hanna, who on occasion we like better than our... No, I'm just kidding, honey. We just like... We like him.
Yeah, this is not what we came on the radio show for.
We love Gabe, and Gabe was cast as Prince Charming. That's so, come on.
Too perfect.
Really?
That's going to be the... Oh, I have to go say, I don't think I've ever... I've been to one play.
Gabe's actually here. Hi, Gabe. Gabe's in the lobby waving through the glass. Yes, at least he's not yelling at me like Becky was. So that's good. And my mom is here on my birthday. My 78-year-old mom?
Oh, good job,
Pat. I lose track. She said more or less.
She's 60.
She dresses 60. Like she's like a 30-year-old
she's
from the 60s right
you
now.
Guys.
Jeez. She acts 45. I want to talk about some of the things when people talk about the outdoors of Wisconsin, a lot of times we on this show focus on hunting, fishing, and eating what you kill and catch. But one of the great things about the great state of Wisconsin is even if you're not a hunter or a fisher person, you can really, or an angler, you really can enjoy the outdoors of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And hiking, something this camping show has spawned is the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series. And what that is, those of you who know me, anybody who knows me knows I work in the area of people with diverse abilities, and that's something very near and dear to my heart. And Robin Kennedy and the Kennedy clan and our five loyal listeners out in Oconomowoc are a big part of that. And I'm really excited to say my daughter Violet has become involved in helping set up the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series. And what that is getting folks with disabilities into the outdoors. And the reason we're talking about it on the show is because we want everybody out there of any ability.
We sure
and,
do.
Diverse abilities, other abilities, any abilities, to understand that there is a place for them to enjoy the outdoors of Wisconsin. Yep. What do we got going, Violet? Ooh.
Yes, June 17th. Mr. Kazmierski over at Buck Rub is...
Otherwise known as Kaz.
Kaz, I was like...
Sorry.
That's...
To me, Mr. Kazmierski is hosting us out at Buck Rub, and we're going to go shoot some bows.
Ooh.
Yes, so we're going to take some folks who have never had the opportunity to do archery and do some shooting.
I want to toss in June 17th. Yes. It's also my birthday.
No way.
Are you going to be joining us that day?
I think this is a good possibility.
We would love to have you stop by. However, if it is your birthday, I understand. I think people should get a pass on everything for their birthday.
Oh, weird.
Interesting.
Well, I do. But I'm doing a little work today and
right.
I'm having fun. I think for me, I just wanted my family around with me today on my birthday.
Here.
So here they are. Violet, how many participants do we have so far for the outdoor A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series?
So I am currently unaware of the RSVPs, but we are in the process of that. I've been working with Robin. She is on top of everything. I only hope to be as on task as she is. But we are in communication as of right now, and I'll get you the final number.
Yeah, but no, it's all good. But one of the things that we talk about is that no matter what ability you have, a lot of people think, well, do I have to be strong to use archery equipment? Do I have to, be able to grip a certain thing a certain way? And what we're going to do, we're going to take people who may have some potential limitations and show them that there's such a wide variety of archery equipment that is available that we're going to be able to utilize archery equipment and give people a new experience. So if you are out there and you are a person who has not experienced the outdoors or tried archery or tried an outdoor experience, please contact us. Contact us at the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series. We'd love to have you be a part of what we do. You can meet Danielle Fairman, huge social media celebrity that she is. Hang out with us for the day. And my daughter Ella Rose is here too. And Ella Rose, you are one of the most creative people I know. And you've got some ideas for potential outdoor adventure series, don't
Ooh.
You?
I honestly, this is
applicable to anybody who wants to outdoor adventure in general. So growing up, one of my favorite memories was when my mom and dad would take me outside to look for little critters. And this is just another way to help and conserve the beautiful world of Wisconsin that we have. As everyone knows, hunters are some of the main conservationists. And an amazing opportunity is to bring your family outside, go search for some milkweed, and find some monarch caterpillars, because this is a breed of butterfly, one of our pollinators, that is absolutely depleting. And if you want to, you know, help propagate and help build this breed, you can just bring a bunch of those milkweed plants from wherever. Bring them in. And grow them up and raise some butterflies.
And that is a great idea for an outdoor adventure series.
That's what I'm doing this year.
Seeking out bugs, butterflies. Let's do it together. You've been listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman.
Woo!
We love having you. We're on 18 stations throughout the state of Wisconsin. Join
Happy
us next Baldwin. Week. Have
Happy
a great
birthday.
Night.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5.